Hi, Chief Halton here at Fire Engineering Podcasts, and we are being brought to you by Tenkata Protective Fabrics and their Made for Life podcast hosted by Stuart Perry. The Made for Life podcast unearths the work experiences of real men and women who rely on the protective clothing and equipment to get the job done. From firefighters to industrial workers to military personnel, recent episodes explore the dangers and challenges of wildland firefighting, peer counseling for first responders, and the ins and outs of turnout gear. It's the Made for Life podcast from Tenkata Fabrics. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And thank you for listening to Fire Engineering. Live. Hey, this is the hump day hangout. This is the fifth Wednesday of the month, which means all bets are off. Normally we have like the guys that do mental health. So instead I thought we'd do a completely opposite group of people who I would not send anybody to for any type of counseling or mental health. Not at all.
Come on.
Not at all. But if I did want you to teach somebody how to get somebody out of a jam, a piece of machinery, get somebody disentangled from a collapse, if I wanted to get you somebody who could open just about any type of door you could imagine, any type of building you could imagine, if I wanted to get you people who've taught people how to do actual tradesman style tasks for practically their entire adult lives, these are the five cats I would ask you to talk to right here. This is a group of tradesmen, scholars who've studied their craft to a level that few people invest in. So it's a real pleasure. And all of them will be teaching at FDIC. We were just talking about it before we went live with you all. Hands-on training's filling up. I mentioned man and machine is filling up fast. And forcible entry always fills up. You want to get in there. Chris and his team, they do an incredible job. So, and there's so much changing with all of that. So, the hands-on training classes fill up. There's limited space. And once they fill up, that's it. You can't get in. And so you want to take a look at what you want to do now and get signed up. And so it's summer school. So there's still space available right now. But this is the time when everybody signs up. And everything's open now. Suddenly, they've figured it all out. It's all good. And we're allowed to do, normal stuff. So Indianapolis restaurants are all open up. I was just there. Got back last night. Had a great time, met with the team. We've got plenty of stuff going on. We're going to have tents at all the sites, cooling, all that stuff's being taken care of. There'll be plenty of water. There'll be other beverages available after training, reportedly. There'll be plenty of that going on. So we've got 21 hands-on classes to fill up. You've got stretching for success. You've got writ under fire. You've got drilling at the speed of flashover, man versus machine, forcible entry, IDLH firefighting. It's all there. So go register at FDIC.com, sign up, get in. It's gonna, we got the Fool's Bash, we got the fun run, stair climb, union party, comedy night, all that stuff's going on. So it's gonna be a really good time. Wear your shorts, we used to call them spouse beater t-shirts. I guess you can't call them that anymore. I don't know what you call them. The sleeveless t-shirts. When we were kids, we had a nickname for them.
There was a nickname for them, but I don't think you can use that today.
Yeah, I guess you'd call them spouse beaters. That's all right, right? Yeah, it's unisex. So we'll just call them spouse beaters or significant other beaters. Your significant other beater t-shirt. So we'll go with that. So what do I got two pensions and a bad attitude. What are you going to do to me? Right. I tell the truth for a living. It makes people very uncomfortable. Seriously.
I think pretty much all of us could pack it up except for Chris. I think he's really the only one that's got to stick around a couple more years, right, bro?
A little bit left.
You got a little left.
You really? Don't worry about it. All right, we'll find something for you to do. If this goes
on, five. It's all good.
You could always start a crime ring with all your forcible entry stuff. Have us in and out in no time. I'm just kidding. I once had a guy, this is a true story, before we start, I had a guy send me a letter one time after we did like a forcible entry thing online. It might have been after one of the things you and I did online years ago. And he said, oh, I don't think you should do that. If criminals were watching, they would learn.
They're already way ahead of us.
It's burglary 101, that's for sure.
Right. Half of these techniques we learned from them. So I'm just kidding. So anyway, well, thank you guys for joining with us. So I thought we'd just go around the horn real quick. Everybody could just give a quick intro of themselves, what they're doing. Robbie, you're up in my top corner. So Robbie, why don't you fill the crowd in on where you're at, what you're doing, and what you'll be doing at FDIC.
Well, Robbie Bergerson, 28 years in fire service. I'm deputy chief in Waco, Texas. And Mark asked me to come on today and talk. I'm a consumer of some of their training. We've had them out, PL Vulcan, and also Chris with East Coast Rescue Solutions, both to our city. And just happy to be here. And any chance you give me an opportunity to tell about the great work that our people are doing, using some of that training, I'm happy to take the opportunity. So.
And I will echo that. My volunteer company, we're consumers of the East Coast fire products, and we've had training from Mark and his guys out here in Oklahoma, and our guys also use their stuff all. Guys and gals use their stuff all the time. Most recently, we're using one of Chris's doors from East Coast. It's amazing. It's amazing what you can do with it. We feel really blessed to have it, and it was really easy. It was really easy to go through the process of purchasing it, it's working out really well for us. We do a lot of regional training. So we've got a lot of companies coming in from around to work with the tools that we've purchased, and looking forward to having you guys come out again, and Mark and Chris and the team to, you know, teach us some of the new stuff, because it's always evolving, right? And we'll get into that. Yes. Pat, you're not on the coast of Florida, or are you?
No, I'm in just outside of Boston, but I work in Boston. I just thought I'd mix it up a bit with a background that's a little bit different.
It's not the Back Bay there, Pat.
Nah, but it's wicked warm here, though.
Wicked warm.
Down the Cape.
Yeah. It could be down the Cape, but no, this is just the background I thought I'd throw in. But I'm a district chief in Boston, a co-owner with Mark, with PL Vulcan, and just here to give some insight and some of the things we do, not only just manning the machine, but, you know, we do... truck company ops and rapid intervention and whatnot. And we got a lot of things even going around during the summer. This summer we have a lot of going on. Doesn't seem to be any breaks for us this summer. Usually we try to take it easy, but everybody's trying to catch up with their training with COVID, which is keeping us occupied this summer.
You know, with all the things Boston has to be proud of, which is a ton, obviously, one of the most tactically well-developed fire departments in the country. You know, I've watched a lot of folks play. I've gotten to ride out with tons of people. And I'll never forget nights riding out with Boston. You know, people would roll up. It's probably the quietest radio in terms of communication, very succinct, very to the point. But the detail that the troops show on the jobs in Boston is just phenomenal. You know what I mean? It's something to watch. I mean, especially if you catch a decent job with some of those wooden porches going up, running up the back. You
triple guys, deckers.
Pardon?
Triple deckers.
The triple deckers. Yeah, the triple deckers. Yeah. But it really is. And now, to Boston's credit, you've got the first president of the IAFF, Eddie Kelly. Who's actually still on the job in Boston.
Yep. So very, very proud to call him a friend of mine, and he's doing great. He did great work for us. Not only is, of course, being on a pretty busy ladder truck and then being our union president, and now, of course, being the general secretary and then now president. It's quite a feat for him.
I've known Eddie, like you, for probably well over 20 years, 25 years, and he's just a great guy, good guy. I came out to do some classes for Boston years ago, Pat. Remember that? He did some training, me and Smitty, and Norman. So the three of us are up there doing our shtick, and Eddie comes up and says, "Well, you know, you can't trust a thing out of any three of these guys' mouths. They're all chiefs." I'm like, "You little asshole." Over here. What a great guy. I mean, and that's the kind of guy he is, right? You know, it's the old life. They don't make fun of you. They don't like you, right? Yeah. So right up in our grills, you know, first hour we were there. Yeah. But just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And I think he's going to do good things for the fire service. I think he's a really good man. I think his heart's in the right place. Got a tremendously difficult job ahead of him. I don't envy him. I did invite him to the show. I don't know if he's going to show up, but if he does, we'll put him up on the main program and hopefully give him to say a few words to the troops. So, Jimmy, I know you're exhausted, brother. I know you're working. You're closing out 80 hours of work. So thank you for spending some time with us. Why don't you tell everybody where you're at and what you're doing?
Well, I'm with the instructors of PL Vulcan. I've been a fireman now for 31 years. I work full-time for City of Covington, Kentucky, right across the river from Cincinnati, Ohio. I was a customer of PL Vulcan. I was able to get an opportunity to teach with them. FDIC was actually one of my first gigs with them. I've been going to FDIC since it was here in Cincinnati. For anybody else that's that old out there, I mean, it left here in 91, I think, and headed to Indy. And been going, I've served in as a salesman on the floor, as a student in the hot training, taking many lectures. Now I get the opportunity to be a hot instructor. One more thing, my bucket list for retires, I'd like to do a lecture, but, obviously we're going to promote FDIC today, but, education as a whole in our job is where it's at. We got to keep learning.
Did you put something in for me for 2022?
I've been working on something. Mark's been kind of tutoring me. Hopefully next year. COVID kind of screwed everything up. I've got some things on paper. It's just figuring out which one I want to do.
So I'll tell you what. We'll put a little pressure on you. You got till Friday to get it submitted. You get it submitted, and Mark promises to help you get it together. We'll put you on. We'll put you on. You can, check it off.
All right.
Get it to me.
Okay. I'll be on an airplane Friday.
Well, the call for presentations is open until Friday. So get in the lecture you want to do and let's do it. Let's do it. And you've been working for us for 25 years. You might as well get in the classroom. You know, going from the hands-on into the classroom, it's almost like, when you're setting guys up to do a procedure, you just talk it through. Those are the best classes.
Yep.
Tips and tricks, and those are the best classes. And we do some theory stuff. We do a lot of theory stuff, but you got to remember, we're tradesmen, and I truly believe that. I mean, I'm negotiating with Mike Rowe, trying to see if we can't get him to come down, just to see all the different trades that come together in the fire service. When you think about it, I mean, you guys are the epitome of what it means to be a true tradesman, what you do with man versus machine, all the PL Vulcan training, all the stuff you do with East Coast Rescue. I mean, you're the hallmark of high end training. Obviously with our friends from Traditions and some of the other companies. I mean, you look at the cadre of high end training companies out there right now. Obviously both of yours are fantastic, and it's just amazing. There's amazing training going on. Aaron Fields with his guys out of Seattle, and just some incredible groups.
Yes.
We'll go to Captain Gregory.
I'm on vacation, so it's just you can call me Mark. So I'm on vacation for the next 2 weeks, but it's nice. But hey guys, how's everybody? Mark Gregory with the FDNY and with PL Vulcan Fire Training. We're just winding up. Been a busy week. We've got a team up in Albany, New York. They're doing training on a brand new Quint. We just had a team out in Colorado, happened to be out there. It was a beautiful country out there. I mean, it was really, really nice. People were into it. Great department, Loveland, Colorado. And I know we were talking the other day, Bobby, is with the FDIC, it's going to be warm. Everybody's still getting over the COVID sticker shock, I'll call it. And, some departments are a little apprehensive about sending people out, but you know what? It's like taking that mask off. It's liberating. And I think for departments that want to get out there and train, it's going to be hot, but you know what? FDIC is going to be fun. We'll have a good time out there. Chris has the guys out there doing the forcible entry door. You've got, you mentioned Aaron Fields, Aaron Heller and the on-scene training guys, Doug Mitchell and the Traditions crew. I mean, there's so many great instructors that are out there. And the beauty of it is to get everybody, basically, I'll use the term, under one roof, whether they're doing hands-on or they're actually lecturing. I mean, it's a great time. I mean, if you get out there to do the hands-on, it's fantastic. If you get out there just to pick up on lectures, you know, jump back into it. I mean, you know, COVID, everybody's being pretty responsible, and things are working the right way. And I'm sure, Bobby, you guys have to be doing a lot of things, like a lot of different requirements as far as to kind of match in with the COVID situation.
Well, we went out there yesterday. We met with the FDA, you know, the Indy people and all of their stuff, and all their restrictions have been lifted. So there's no face masks, there's no social distancing. Their case numbers are, you know, down to like, you know, totally manageable stuff, like seasonal flu kind of stuff. So they're completely wide open. So we're seeing a lot of that, but, you know, people are vaccinated. People are now immune, folks that had it. So, you know, we're in a really good place. It's the return to, you know, life is normal, really. Which is important to be doing a show at that point too. We got so much to catch up on. I mean, the world didn't stay, you know, things kept happening and you know, people kept coming into the job and out of the job and,
right.
And new equipment was developed and new, obviously, especially when we're talking about, you know, forcible entry and extraction, all kinds of new problems have come up in terms of that with the new electronic elements to security and such, you know, that you got to learn how to defeat them if you want to get into the building. So a lot of that's happening. Really, really cool stuff. We got Steve Chikorotis from Chicago, you know, legendary battalion chief. He's going to do the keynote. And Steve was a lieutenant when he was a subject matter expert for Backdraft. Now, don't get him wrong because of Hollywood stuff, but he did that. And then he went on, he's written some, he's always been involved in that whole theatrical stuff. So he's the subject matter expert for Chicago Fire. So he's going to keynote, and then we got the Conleys out of St. Louis, a couple of guys who really know their stuff on Thursday. We got John Austin coming down, you know, the New Haven chief. He's another guy, former Jersey guy, really tightly wrapped guy, great tactician. The Women in Fire got an incredible lineup of some high-end people doing some really good work too. So the whole thing is coming together. It's going to be a great – the thing I like about summer school, and I – can say without reservation that I'm sure that everybody on this call attended summer school because I've hung out with you. So I can tell that this is, it's going to be a summer school kind of feeling. You know what I mean? Like
right.
It's going to be intense. And you have to remember that the things we're focused on, obviously COVID with disinfecting masks and stuff like that, which is really just smart because, you know, for all kinds of disease that you can transmit, you know, through airborne particles and droplets and such into face pieces. So the Scott people are all over that. But, you know, one of the things I like about it is we train and we do work in all kinds of temperatures. So you've got to train in all kinds of temperatures because you take your folks out to a job in Boston today when it's like 90 in Boston today, right?
It's like 97.
Okay. You can catch a ball game in terms of dehydration in a heartbeat, yeah. 97 degrees, 85% humidity, something like that, right?
Yeah. You
know? New York and Boston this time of year, you got to be thinking about how do you rotate your people through? How long can the troops, you know, do this or do that? So, you know, it's a whole different ball game when you got environmental factors. So I think it's good. I think it's a really good idea. I mean, the more I think about the whole FDIC summer school thing, I think that once I'm not here, I'm going to suggest it to them that they do two a year so that I don't have to do two a year. I can only handle one a year, but I'm going to suggest that whoever follows me has to do two a year. So but when you think about it, a summer school idea is a really good idea because, you know, the FDIC April weather is always perfect because it's great weather to be wearing your gear, you know, all day. August is not going to be the number one thing we're telling people to tell their, and you guys are going to hear a million times as instructors, we're doing two heat safety briefings that you have to attend two times. All of you will. So get out of your gear. When you're not doing a drill, get out of your gear. Take your jacket off, drop your, you know, you can drop your pants down a little bit, you know, but open them up so that your body can, you know, evaporate some energy and cool a little bit. So we're really going to be hitting that, which leads us to the boss himself over here, being quiet like a boss. So Chris, good to have you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So forcible entry. What's new in forcible entry? What you're going to be, well, why don't you tell everybody about yourself a little bit in case folks don't know you?
Chris Minichello. I've been a fireman for about 23, 24 years. Worked in several different departments. Worked down in Atlanta for Atlanta Fire, and then currently work for FDNY. Owner of the company, me and my partner Rick are owners in East Coast Rescue Solutions. We design, fabricate forceful entry, man and machine props. We pretty much customize whatever the whatever's needed. Been with FDIC for a while, very fortunate for that, and been teaching forceful entry. And we've really seen a difference. You were talking about earlier about the difference of things changing. Listen, the props are great, but you got to put time on real doors. Definitely seen a big spike in a lot of through the lock training. Guys want to get that. One of our big focuses this year is really getting to a lot of people really want to get into the extra locks as far as rear commercials, outward swing, getting into slide bolts. We got some really cool stuff coming with guys will be forcing real doors with draw bars. They're everywhere. People just got to get out there and start seeing them. They're in your first due. You're just not getting out there and checking them out. But so we can prepare the guys that the first time they see it is not on that run where they really got to get it open. So we're really excited. It feels like it's been too long that, there's been no training going on.
Well, I'll tell you, all of you are experts at forcible entry and getting folks out. The great, I always thought of it as like the kitty, kitty, kitty thing with the commercials, right? Especially, you got the front of a store on a commercial, whether it's, built inside a block, a taxpayer, whether it's a standalone, whether it's a strip. The front's the kitty, 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 because you're looking at the glass, you're looking at you can get in that way. Getting out, if you get jammed up and you can't go out the way you came in, which has happened to a lot of troops, you're in trouble. Because that rear door is not going to be easy to force. That's the door that they invest a lot of money in. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So
that's where the storage is. So that's where they're storing it up and keeping their goods. And that's where a lot of the fires start, in the back. So that's the important. And that's just more in our class. What we're teaching is not just force the door, but why are you here? Why are you in the back? What are the reports you're going to give? What are you looking for? What transmissions can you make? Those things that we're conveying to the students beyond just here's a door, force it.
Yeah, and I always thought like with line placement too, and I know Mark's got and Jimmy's got a lot of experience with this, and Pat, probably you too. When you're thinking about it, like Chris just said, when you get to the back of the store, that drop ceiling, all that stuff is gone. It's right up to the rafters, or they got a cock loft and they're storing stuff up there. And you think about some of the more significant fires we've had, Chris is exactly right. That's where they started. The first line generally comes in through the front door. But if you think about it, if the back wasn't such a bugaboo to get through, that back line could be a really, be maybe a better placement, at least in a lot of the jobs that I screwed up would have been a better placement.
I think, just kind of touching on what Chris was going over there, I think anybody could force a door, just like anybody can get a person out of a machine. The thing is the finesse factor. Chris and the guys from East Coast do a great job on, sizing up, looking at it. We did this class yesterday in Colorado, and it was great. Walmart had donated to us some conveyors, old conveyors. So we gave the department a couple of different stations. And instead of having students just run through the station, what we did was we said, hey, all 24 of you stand here. One group, you're going to do this scenario. The next group, this one. The next group, this one. And the beauty of it was, and the students gave it afterwards, was that I watched Bobby do it his way. Then Mark got to do it his way. But then Pat came along and did the same thing a different way. But all three ways worked, and we all picked up different techniques. So instead of just giving a high five to your crew and being able to say, "Ooh, look, we got in," or "Hey, we got the guy out," we saw different ways of doing it. And while my way could have been good, Pat's way was better. Or, hey, Bobby put a different twist on it. So I think that's a great thing to get out of training. And I know at work, I try to get my guys to understand is the whole factor of slowing down and learning to finesse the operation, look at the big picture and realize, are there other ways that we can handle this, other ways that we could do the job?
And Chris,
that's definitely, go ahead, Pat.
I don't know, I was going to say to your end about giving good reports for the guy that's standing out front now, those are the things that I need to hear. You know, how is it fortified? Are you going to be able to get in? What do you see? What's happening? Because once we open that back door, that's our second way out, or it may be our primary way in. So those are all important things that I think get missed by just opening a door or just forcing a door. That tactical report is huge.
Oh, no doubt. I think, like, you know, the guy in the back giving that report that he has fire in the rear of the store and you're stretching in the front and it's a 200 by 200 building, that's a game changer. And if you have fire above your, when you pull that ceiling in the front and you realize, oh, we got fire here, but now you're realizing it's front to back, I mean, that's a game changer, especially as a chief or anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, that 1, 2.5 is not really going to take care of that. So, you know, and I think in our classes, that's what we get on. You know, we beat firemen on everything. Size up, right? Every scene, size up. But like forceful entry, I think it goes much deeper. Like, do you really size up the door? Are you taking, you size up a building, but are you really sizing up your door? And just like everything we do, from man and machine to whatever it is, a good size up, not just in the beginning, but after every move you make, has to be another size up. For every reaction, for every action is a reaction. So as I gap the door, I'm looking as the door flexes. And those are the things that we start, you know, there's one thing like Mark saying to understand for, to do a force a door, but do you understand, you know, the true theory of forcible entry and why you're there and what you're doing and really what your tool's doing.
Yeah, that Mongo mentality. I mean, like I said, you can get any guy with drawn to take a door down, but is that really the way that we want to get in and we want to accomplish the task?
No doubt.
They referenced the Blazing Saddles. I was wondering how long it would take before someone went totally off the rails.
Yeah, there we go.
I just wanted to mention that with Robbie Burgesson here. So when you talk about training, right? We, you know, of course, you know, we go around the country. You've been around the country and other training groups. You always make friends, and there's places that you go to that you deliver a class, and there's places that you develop relationships out of. So the reason I invited Robbie on was Waco is one of those fire departments that we always start off a man versus machine class with. Hey guys, listen, you may have never had one of these incidents. Maybe you had, but we guarantee, and we call it the PL Vulcan curse. We always say we guarantee within a week or two, maybe three, you're going to get something. And knock on wood, Pat, you can attest to this. Jimmy can attest to it. It's been pretty crazy. Waco is the exception to the rule. I mean, it is crazy. We left Waco. I remember I was driving my kids around one day, and Robbie gives me a phone call. He's like, hey, bro, he says, you busy? And I'm like, no. He goes, the battalion chief's going to call you. Hold on a second. And, you know, we're walking him through a person with a finger in a gas tank. Robbie, I mean, if you want to jump in, bro, I mean, you've had a couple of these incidents.
Yeah, I mean, just since we had you guys out, we've had two fence impalements, a kid in a gun safe. We had a kid pinned under a car that we removed successfully with a 24-foot extension ladder and a hose bundle, which you guys teach. We've been called to the operating room twice to assist the surgery team with removal. We found out they have very good saws to cut bones, but not so much metal. And, you know, too large of kids and too small of swings, I'm being politically correct. Too many to count, probably, since you guys have left. But just yesterday, we had a kid stuck in a fence at an apartment complex. So it happens all the time. It seems like it does. And we didn't realize it was happening, or maybe it just didn't happen before the class. But you guys generate a lot of emergencies by coming out, it seems like.
Well, you know, Mark, you talked about Walmart with the conveyors. But Jimmy, you know, where he lived, the conveyors go up into grain elevators. And I know you've got a ton of experience with that. I was going to call you the other day because I'm talking to the guys down in OKC. I might have you work with them because they're putting together a piece. They had a guy on a conveyor. Can't remember what the product was going into the transportation modes for train, you know, boxes. And they got a guy 50 feet up in the air. So they raised the ladder to him. And they had to bring in a surgeon and do a amputation on the guy from the bucket.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, I was thinking there's a there and that's a great Mike Walker, those that department, You want to talk about squared away? Oklahoma City is as squared away as it gets, and they saved the guy. I mean, but if you don't think that your town isn't going to have some, you know, unique situation where these guys can help you out, you're vastly mistaken. And it's just as Robbie said, you know, there's all kinds of tips like the hose bundle and the 24 footer that you can put into use without having the, you know, the heavy rescue team roll up. You take it right off the engine and get a car off of somebody.
When we started teaching the ground ladder out in Indy, it was funny because, you know, I always told the Facebook firefighter, you always have those people who watch videos, watch different things, go, oh my God, you can't do this, you can't teach that, and you guys are horrible. And, you know, we try to bring up when we teach a class, what was a ground ladder designed for? To climb. What do we use it for in the fire service? We break windows with it. We use it for high point anchors. I mean, if you talk to any ladder manufacturer, they'll tell you you can't use tools for that. We use hose lines in the fire service to lift a firefighter out of a hole in the floor. Hose wasn't designed to do that. But the idea is, I think what all of us as instructors try to teach people is sometimes you have to think like an individual, you have to improvise. Yes, if you have the bottle jack and you've got the fuel jack and you've got airbag, those are great tools. But when it's three of us on an engine company coming home and there's a lady that runs out in front of us and says, my husband's trapped under the car, you know, then we have to use the tools that we have, right? We're like MacGyvers. We've got to use those tools to get a successful outcome. And that's the important thing, I think, about attending hot classes and attending classroom sessions and not just watching videos on the internet and saying, well, you know, being that Monday morning quarterback. There's a reason why we do things and why we use certain tools. And of course, send the ladder out to get checked later on. As a chief, I would have no problem. Hey, listen, you use this to save your life, send it out. As a father, if you pulled my kid out from under a car using a ladder, I'll buy you a new ladder tomorrow. I don't care. You saved my kid. But we should never be limited by listening to the critics. You know, the, like I said, I call them the Facebook firefighters, where all they do is watch videos and judge what's going on in other worlds.
That's a minimalist thing, too, because every town USA doesn't have airbags or doesn't have this equipment. You know, it's like you said, two guys riding on an engine, you know, the chauffeur and the boss, and that's it. And they got what's on there, you know, so.
Every couple of years, you know, we have the discussion about bailout, right? FDNY historically, I've been around long enough to remember, you know, Ernie DeMaria and all everybody looking, and Ernie's been retired for 35 years now, I think, but the whole discussion about what rope size, and I remember being with Andy Fredericks, we were talking about it, you know, that what your job was going to issue. I think it was like 97, 96, 97 after a rope incident or piece of a rope broke. I can't remember exactly where, but the guy, the firefighter was coming down and the rope broke. And so it was a big turmoil, having a huge discussion. And Andy leaned over and he goes, hey, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go out the window on that 1¾ with that thing flowing. They'll notice me. And I was like, okay. But that's improvising, and I think he was only half kidding. You know what I mean? If he had to go out the window on the line, you're going out the window on the line. You know what I mean? Take whatever you got to take if you got to get out of that, you know, room. So you're right. You got to improvise. You got to think outside. You got to use what you have. What's the old line? You don't go to war with the army you want. You go to war with the army you have.
Right.
You know, your tool chest. You got.
Well, I think I was going to say, I think that's a good point. I brought both Chris and Mark's groups out to our city, but you know, a lot of times you'll bring in a training class and it almost seems like a sales show for new equipment. And that's something that like PO Vulcan, we've had them out, I think, for three different classes. We do the tricks of the trade, truck company ops class,
engine class.
Ops, and versus machine. But that tricks of the trade class that we did, Mark, that was in 2016. People are still talking about that class because it's so practical, the information that it's tools that you carry every day on your fire truck. And we didn't have to buy anything special and we got just this incredible amount of information. And even like the rescue you talked about, or the guy with his finger stuck in the gas tank. I don't know why he stuck it in there in the first place, but the call that you helped him, it was basically a phone a friend to Captain Gregory, and he helped us from New York get it out with an oil dipstick. And I've seen other departments on YouTube have the same scenario where they've taken hydraulic rescue tools and cut the side of the car off. How much damage was that? And you're teaching something that can be done that's on every vehicle. So it's just, it's awesome the stuff that you guys bring, and you're not trying to sell a lot of other, you know, I don't want to say needless equipment, but it's stuff that we're already carrying, and that's awesome.
So. Well, and I think one of the biggest things for all training companies going in and people, and even out at FDIC, learn to use the tools, like you said, learn to use the tools that you have. So yesterday we were in Loveland, we needed a piece of webbing, and this one firefighter pulled out two pieces in his pocket. He had a 12-foot piece and he had a 24-foot piece. So I said, well, what's with the two pieces? And he had, one was strictly a removal piece, and the other one he was going to use for diamond lashing. And I said, oh, bro, what else do you carry these tools for? And he said, what do you mean? He said, I just gave you, you know, two reasons. We introduced him to using it as a step, making it into a stretcher. Russ Keller, a friend of ours from R&R Rescue, showed us how you can crisscross it, make it into a makeshift stretcher, raising tools up with it. So, you know, the whole idea of carrying a tool in your pocket for one use only is ridiculous. Why boggle yourself down with all this equipment? And there's so many great instructors out there, FDIC, and where I think where students come, if we can educate guys to understand this, listen, we want you to be lean, we want you to be mean, we don't want you to be pack rats, but understand, don't, because Bobby, because Bobby Halton carries a certain tool, don't say, well, Mark Gregory's got to carry that. Why does he carry it? Maybe you don't have the buildings or you don't have the type of conditions that Bobby Halton does in your district. So why even carry it? Simple thing about medical gloves. I brought up to these guys yesterday. I said, hey, where are your medical gloves? They sit in the rig. I said, great. You pull up to a job, you pull a victim out. It's a great moment. You got the guy in the front lawn. You take your helmet off and your mask. Now you're going to work on the person. Where are your gloves? And everybody went back in the rig. I was taught by an old timer years ago, always, always, always keep a pair of gloves in the top of your helmet. Why? The first thing you take off is that helmet. What's there? Those gloves. And those gloves, you can change them out whenever you have to. But the bottom line is, the first person we always think about protecting is who? Ourselves, so we don't bring it home to our families. So it's little tricks like that that we pick up from other instructors that I think are key to keeping this training ball rolling and getting good quality training out there to people.
Just sharing knowledge and experience. I mean, I think we'd all agree that it's a lot of this comes from experience. And if you can pass along things that you've experienced, other things you've learned to new people or to people, then we're all learning all the time. I think that's great.
I was told to me a long time ago by someone that if you're not passing on knowledge, you're not into the job.
Yeah.
Or you're not on the job. So, you know, no matter what, even if you're not a technically instructor, whatever you learn, like at FDIC, and that's the whole point where this all comes from, is the students that come there, you need to really spend that time with them and teach them something that applies to what they're doing. Show them as much as you can, because a lot of these departments, you know, send two guys or three guys and they got to take this back, and their job is to pass it on. So, and they become the instructor. They're next in line. So it's good. Like you said, Pat, you know, instructors passing on that knowledge.
Well, just what you brought up there, Chris, I just came back from a run with my volunteer department. We went to the next town over, Hampton Bays. I had a job with a victim inside. And we got back, and one of the firefighters, newer member of the department, says to me, hey, did I ask you too many questions on this run? And I said, no, why? I said, you know, ask away. So, well, somebody else grabbed me and told me that I asked too many questions. And they said that when you ask too many questions, it's a sign of showing that you're not confident in yourself. And I said, that's absolutely ridiculous. I said, when you have a wealth of knowledge around you, and I don't mean me, you know, with other people around you, when you have a wealth of knowledge around there, suck the drink dry. Get as much knowledge as you can out of these people, because there's going to come a point in time, those guys aren't going to be around. You're not going to have the people that have, you know, seen the things that we've seen and the things that we've done to get that knowledge back out to you. So, for young guys out there or new people in, you know, that are in the job, if you've got guys that are wealth of knowledge, you know, don't be afraid. Trust me, most guys appreciate the fact that you grabbing them and saying, hey, Chris, could you show me a couple of things on the door, a couple of tricks that you got? I know how to force the door, but can you show me something different to help improve my game? I think it's a good thing.
And I think that's where FDIC comes into play, where you as a student could run into instructors, whether you had them or whether they're instructors in other venues, and ask them questions. We're just like everybody else. And the beauty about FDIC is those hot washes, if you want to call them, the after hour things that you can approach an instructor and ask a question, just like Mark is talking about, and clarify something, or just impart knowledge and get to know people from around the country, because everybody has something to offer.
And you're sitting next to a, it's not just that guy's brain you're picking. You're sitting next to a guy who worked in Virginia, or worked in Georgia, and worked in New York, and worked in, you know, Kentucky, and worked in Texas, and worked in Boston. And the people that they worked with that taught them things that they still remember, you know, people every now and then some guy will say, you know, oh, this guy's doing this, and that's my class. I invented, you know, standalone commercial food restaurant firefighting. I'm like, no, you didn't. Like, it's the product of millions and millions and millions of firefighters. And I remember Tommy Brennan showing some of my guys out in Texas when I was in Coppell how to, you know, put a screwdriver blade on the end of your pliers, and how to put a, you know, a little cam shell on there so you could use it, you know, for a lock, and, you know, just little things. So you took this one tool, and it was, now it's like a Swiss Army knife. You know, it's like, you know, what could you put on it? What could you, you know, and how to do that, right? And why to do it, you know, and, you know, just the disentanglement, and then looking at the different quality of the tools. Like, you can, you know, if you have a cutter that's only going to be good to do two or three cuts, and you need to do 10 or 12 cuts or 25 cuts, you're in trouble, you know? But you learn that from people who've had a chance to experience it somewhere, or they had somebody who told them about it. And that's the cool thing, because you get, you know, just like when we're doing this, you know, when you're sitting across the table, that's why I like the tables where you can actually like see everybody. I hate those real long ones where you're, you know, when you only got like the guys right near, which is great. But it's also really super great when you got like one of them round ones, and everybody can go, you know, stuff's flying across. You're like, holy crap, you know, are you kidding me? You know, and you just, you can't imagine. Think of the guys that you guys have worked with, and you know what I mean? And then guys that, and gals that they've worked with. It's just amazing, you know, and it's just amazing. And that's what I like about being all together again. You know what I mean? It's good, because these conversations, like, we've got 45 minutes, an hour to talk today. But if we were going out to dinner, we got 3 hours. You know what I mean? And who are we going to bump into? You know, a cat from Alaska.
You have that credit card with that unlimited amount on it, so I could stay for 4 hours, Bobby. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, but Steak and Shake has me limited out. After $100, they check me out. So
I think you have 2 years of budget money for that now. So
right.
You know, but in what you were saying there too, you know, I'm sure Chris runs into this, and you know, I know, you know, Pat runs into it, but we'll be teaching a class somewhere, and somebody will say, hey, you know, we're going to do this just like New York, and we want to, you know, we're trying to set our policies just like New York. And I hate bursting their bubble, but I tell people, you can't be New York. And they look at you like, what? Like, we're not, New York City is not a fire department. We're a militia. I mean, if we sneeze, we get 32 more people. There is no other fire department in the world that can do that. I mean, including Boston and Chicago would be our second and third as far as manpower sizes. Nobody gets the manpower that we can get. But in the same token, Jimmy Adams hops on a rig in Covington, Kentucky, or Robbie's commanding a scene in Waco. And you know what? The same Steak and Shake fire that we have in New York, they've got to put out, they've got to deal with too. The difference is they've got to put it out with the 16 guys that they have, compared to the 150 guys that we may have. So, you know, I think it's important too for students to understand that stuff. It's great to learn tactics and things, but those tactics and skills and things that we do have to be downsized to work in the world that you are operating in.
Very true. You know, it was said before, talking about tools and logic, you know, we've become a very gadget laden job with some of the newer folks. They like technology, you know, that's kind of driving where the fire service is going. Bluetooth, you know, I just got a new air packs this week on a job, new technology between the mask. But I think lose track of, I say this in every man and machine lecture I have, is man versus machine isn't a gadget. We can't give you a Swiss Army knife that's every man and machine incident. Man versus machine is a mentality. and you have to look at a problem and figure out, you take it apart, you cut it. What is going to be the quickest way to remove that person that they can save their hand, their arm, their leg, or their life, and get them to the trauma center as fast. And that goes past man and machine. It goes every part of our job. The sharpest tool that you can have as a firefighter, and I think we've lost this, at least in my younger generation, is your mind. If your mind is sharp to what you do and how the tactics are and what the principles are and how we apply them, then you can use different gaps to make it easier. But at the end of the day, your brain has to.
True.
And the other thing I've learned from watching Chris and Mark teach is that you got to be careful about what you do, because everything you do can affect another part of that door or that gate or that tool. So you cut the wrong strut, or you cut the wrong roller, or you cut the wrong, hinge, and you could create a bigger problem than what you had in the beginning.
And it goes back to some of the things, like one thing I like to say is, don't mistake movement for achievement. So just because you're doing something, don't mistake that for achieving what your task is or what your assignment is. So, and that's one thing, like going to these classes is, listen, especially as we get older, you learn to work smarter, and you want to take less steps as possible to achieve the same thing. So you can learn from people like I did. Learn from people the way I was doing it, maybe had the same end game, but took me a lot longer to get there. So I think that's one thing, like we always say, don't mistake movement for achievement.
And the other thing I would throw out too, what I really like about both of you guys as team leaders with your groups, is that you don't discount somebody based upon where they're from. You know, this morning I got to read a wonderful article from a young captain named Dorn, and I can't remember where the guy's out of, but it was such good common sense. He took the term, you know, how like you get done with a job, it was a little hairy, maybe, some people got really badly banged up or killed. He said, the whole thing about, how the boss walks around and says, you okay? And the guy took it to a really good, just common sense thing to do, but he took it to a really good level, better than 80% of the things I've read from psychologists and psychiatrists and therapists about, how to help people get through stuff. This guy just got it at a level that works for all of us. You know what I mean? And I don't know anything about the guy, but I wrote back to Diane. She sent it to me to review. I said, great stuff, common sense, loved it. And I don't even know who the guy was, but I would love to have a half hour with that guy. And when I watch you guys, I watch, Chris and his guys, when you're doing your training and the folks are coming through, you always kind of let them go at it first to see what they're doing, right? To see how they would approach it. And I saw, it wasn't you, it was one of your team. And he said, that's really good. Show me that again. And the guy said, oh, that's really good. Just do it again. Oh, and yeah. I'm like, wow. And he called a couple of your other guys over and said, check this out. Look what he's doing. And it was like, hey, that's great. And I saw that kid later on. I can't remember. It was at the logistics center where you were teaching. And he was 9 foot high. I mean, he was like, man, those guys are the greatest. And I'm thinking, you are too, man. You are.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, the old adage goes, the day you stop learning is the day you're done. So that would, if whoever that was, and I know that's happened to me, I may have one of the other guys, but it's happened numerous times in the firehouse, everywhere. You're always, it's endless.
It is. Every single human being you meet can teach you something. But what's nice is that when you get to a level of sophistication like this group, it's really just really wonderful when you hear a guy like Robbie or Pat or Jimmy say, or you and Mark say, yeah, you can learn from everything. I mean, that's the essence of our job. You're learning every day from almost everybody. You know what I mean? Even when the rookie's coming through the door from the Rock or from what do they call that island out in the middle of the Boston Harbor? What do you guys call the training, the drill field out there?
Moon Island.
Moon Island?
Yeah.
That's like, if you were a rookie, could you imagine driving that every day to go to recruit school? It'd be like the ride to hell. It's like a 10 minute, you guys ever been out there? It's like a 10 minute ride along like There's water on both sides of you. There's nothing ahead of you except punishment. There's nothing behind you except failure. I love that place, man. That's a great place. But even that kid who just showed up in there, you know, they're wide-eyed and scared to death. They got plenty to teach you, I think. And that's why people say, I'm not good enough to teach at FDIC. Yes, you are. Everybody's got something that they're the best at, you know, and you just got to figure out how to present it.
You're sharing your take on something, I think would be the way to put it. And you know what? You know, from listening to others or answering questions in a class or having a guy show you something, you're enhancing, you know, the program. And if you're going around sharing that information, then it's a good thing. You know, if you're marketing it, like you said before, Bobby, if you're marketing it as if, hey, listen, we're the only ones to come up with the, you know, the single store fire program. Well, that's not what it's all about. If you're sharing that information, you're getting that information out. I think that's pretty key. So,
and the other thing, and I'll go back to your story about the kid who thought he was asking too many questions. The only way training gets better is when people ask questions.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
So, you know, because lots of times you don't know what they don't know. You know what I mean?
True.
And I think the question sometimes as an instructor makes you rethink your approach because it's maybe asked in a different way or toward his, what he sees. And it may make you rethink. And we've had this with our guys, you know, this guy was showing this or asking this question and, you know, and you get that, you start breaking it down. And I think that's where you start finding a new way of doing things or a little different. Or a different approach. Like you said, the hot wash.
Yeah.
So
go ahead, Bob.
So you guys, what are some of the most, I think, interesting things going on right now in terms of forcible entry, in terms of, you know, extricating people from machinery? What are some of the two questions? What are some of the most interesting things going on right now in your worlds in terms of training? And what are some of the most difficult? So what would be the most, you know, common and interesting that you're seeing people like Robbie, when you said the guy had his finger in a gas tank, I kept thinking, and I'm a car guy. I mean, that's my hobby is cars. I've never heard of an idiot putting his finger in a gas tank before.
Yeah, right at the top.
It was more than you know.
Yeah.
But that's
there's a joke there somewhere.
Not while we're being recorded, there's not.
Well, we've had rings on other places too, so, you know.
I could throw a couple of videos on if you want them, Bobby.
So what is the, what's the most common thing that you see that firefighters should be thinking about in terms of just, you know, people and everyday common things? Is it disposals? What is it?
What I see from the man versus machine world is it's not even thinking about a certain type of machinery or thing. It's the fact of just thinking. Most situations you can figure it out. And if you look at today's firefighter compared to the firefighter from 20, 30 years ago, case in point, Pat was going on a run one day. I happened to give him a call and he said, you're not going to believe this. We're actually going to a finger stuck in a, it was actually a hand stuck in a trash compactor in a, in a sink. So I happened, remember that, Pat? I looked the thing up and I actually sent the information over to Pat. By the time Pat got there, Rescue 2 from Boston got him loose. But having the internet in our back pocket where you can look something up, you know, like we always try to teach students, don't go in with that Mongo mentality where we have to break and rip and destroy things. If a machine was assembled, it could be disassembled. There's people at the plant. When you go into a plant, we did rollers yesterday. You know, they work on these machines all day long. Hey, Bobby Halton, you're a car guy. What can you tell us about this situation? Use that guy like he's your encyclopedia. He's not going to be using your right angle grinder or using your wrench, but he's a knowledge bank that's sitting there. And that's one of the toughest things I think in the fire service to get guys to understand is use resources. You know, person under a car, you know, we've always been taught airbags, airbags, airbags. By the time you get the airbags out, set them up and have the cribbing, I could have a floor jack, which is being used across the United States right now millions of times. I can have that car up and done and have the victim out. It's It's just a matter of understanding the ideas that are out there. And that's something that we try to get through in the program. You know, we've got 9 instructors going out this year, and we keep it basic. Ring removals, a common job, you know, and listen, a ring on a finger could be a ring somewhere else on the body. And, you know, it's the same techniques. Meat grinders, you know, yeah, we're using a small one because you know what? That's what we're allotted to. If we can go out and get large scale commercial machinery, of course, it would be great. But we just want you to get the concept of understanding the steps that you have to take. Fence impalements. You know, Chris and the guys from East Coast just came up with some pretty good props. They sat down with us, they talked to us, and you know, they got a fence impalement prop that's out there now, which kind of really simulates what it's like, and you can bring the stuff out. And we're going to showcase that at Indy this year. We've got a large-scale auger prop that we're going to break out. With the fence impalement prop, we've got a press prop, which is another thing. You know, the whole lockout, tagout, shutting power. I know, you know, Mike Dragonetti teaches elevators, and he's very keen on it. And I give him a lot of credit. You know, it's great that, you know, you have a key and you can open up that door, but you've got to perform lockout, tagout first before you do anything. And I think this is important, you know, that when we get guys to understand that they have to stick to basics, A, B, and C, and you can't skip from A to D. You always have to run those steps through your head. And with our program, I think that's what we try to do.
And I think to your end, Mark, I think we also have to, and to Bobby, to your question is, what are our things that we're worried about in training? I think, and it's the way we teaching our children, the vocational end of schooling is basically non-existent. That shop class, the mechanics class, the, you know, and those kind of classes are, going away, certainly in the East Coast, but I think it's going away. And I think we're getting students, recruits that have very little exposure to small engine machinery, to small, just basic hand tools. And we kind of have to start from scratch with a lot of our training. I know in man and machine, some of the time we spend on a right angle grinder, just how to hold it, how to change the blade, how to safely use it, because a lot of these students have not had any opportunity to use this.
Well, and to Pat's point real quick before Chris jumps in, and Chris sees it out there because Chris is on site with Scott in his SAWS class. That's an amazing class, isn't it? That class is, I think that's one of the best classes we've ever done. The problem, to Pat's point, is that, you know, a lot of these kids come in and they think, well, you know, you just fire it up before you get it. The rotary saws, the chainsaws, that I want to take that class. You know, I want to find when he's not doing it at FDIC so I can actually sit down, because I watched him for 20 minutes a year or two ago doing that. One of the first times he did that class, Chris, that's an amazing class. You know,
Yeah, they're right next to us. And we got, I mean, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays, we're setting up, you know, and we all kind of talk back and forth, and we gone over there, and, you know, even I was like, I thought I knew a little bit about chainsaws. Nope.
Didn't. Yeah, me either. I'm not kidding. I want to take the class.
Yeah.
I watched them for 20 minutes and I learned more. I was like, I didn't know any of that. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And I worked for the U.S. Forest Service for a while. I was on a strike. I was a planning chief on an incident management team. And I didn't, you know, I've been around saws my entire life. And this guy is just blowing me away. And it was just 20 minutes worth of that class. Well, it's like watching you with forcible entry and Mark when he's, you know, breaking down a machine. I'm like, no, man, I feel like the village idiot. But I've watched Jimmy, I've watched Pat, I mean, I've watched all you guys and I have a million questions. So if you come to FDIC and you have a million questions, Chris, these guys want to hear your questions. Don't hesitate to say, show me again, or can I do it again? And, you know, and talk to these guys and gals. I mean, we got Jenny Grima coming out and she's got Bobby Morris on her team now and working with her. And she does stuff for, you know, leverage and opening and fire ground tricks, not focused just on one thing, but there's so many great instructors out there. And the cool thing about it is, you know, the kid that's asking all those questions in 2, 3, 4 years, he's going to be on one of your teams. Mm-hmm. If they're asking questions, that's the guy you want to work with, you know?
I think the greatest compliment we get out of classes, and I think Pat and Jimmy, and I mean, you know, Chris can go along with this, is the greatest compliment we can get is when a student becomes an ambassador of the program. And what I mean by that is, you know, if we show somebody how to remove a ring, how to lift a car. And then these guys go back to their departments and they teach it to the people back there. Like, hey, I went to FDIC and I took this. And, you know, listen, when it comes to lifting a car with a ground ladder, there's a lot of naysayers. But when you go and show this to guys and they go, wow, that was pretty swift. Or forcing a door, you know, using Halligans in a different way than what most conventional firefighters are taught. I think that's the ultimate compliment as an instructor is producing ambassadors, people that are going out there and basically spreading the word, you know, and FDIC is a great place for that.
Wasn't it Archimedes who said, give me a leverage point and a lever long enough and I'll lift the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And look at what the San Francisco folks do with those, what are they called? Johnson bars. And the training that they do out there, we got Nicole Jarabowski. She's coming out to do some classes. But if you ever get a chance to go out to San Francisco, go down to their shop. They still make them, I think. Well, the last time I was there, they were still making themselves.
They still on the rig.
Yeah, and they go through a leverage and lifting class because they still have, you know, they have earthquakes out there. And they have not forgotten what happened to their city 100 years ago, and they're not going to get caught unaware, you know, again. And so, you know, you look at their hydrant system where they've got that seawater hydrants and regular hydrants and, you know, all this stuff for, you know, disentangling and rescuing people with hand tools if necessary, because they know that someday they're going to be doing rescues in that city and there's not going to be enough hydraulic tools to go around. You know, you're not going to be able to call for a ram or a spreader. You're going to have to figure it out. And that's a job that's always challenging themselves. You know what I mean? And another great job. But I'll let you guys wrap it up. I'll let you tell the troops why they should come see. And I'll be honest with you. Both of these classes don't have a whole lot of slots left. So if you want to sit down with Chris and his guys or Mark and his team, don't fool around. Don't wait till, you know, the end of the month or something to go register, because you won't get in. And we do limit the amount of people because Chris and Mark have set up their rotations so that they can do X number of students. So I think Mark, one of your days is already full. I don't know if it's Monday morning or Tuesday, but one of your morning sessions is already full. And Chris, you're at like 85% on a couple of days too. So, you know, if you're looking for go in the morning to do something, or if you want to take it in the afternoon, get signed up now. I'm just telling you. And the Red Under Fire guys from the Illinois Fire Services Institute, you know, Gary Conley and his guys, they're also a class where there's just a handful of slots left. So, you know, if you want to take that, we're bussing all the way out to Champaign, Illinois, right? And what we're doing, which turned out pretty cool, it's that Red Under Fire program. The instructors are going to ride out. So there's four evolutions. So the lead is going to meet with the troop on the bus. They're going to break them out into four groups. And they say, here's what you do in this evolution. Here's what you do in this evolution. When they get there, bunkered out, it's just like you're hitting a job. You're going to bunker up. You're going to go. You're going to hit it all day long. Then they got showers and whatnot. They're going to have them all shower, get clean, put back on civilian clothes, get back on the bus for the drive back to Indy. And it's because Champaign, Illinois is a good hour and a half away. And that's where they're going to do the hot wash. So all the instructors are going to ride back with them and they're going to go through, okay, what'd you do? What'd you learn? What'd you see? You know, and then they're going to bounce through. So that's going to be pretty cool. That's going to be a pretty cool class. Now that's an 8-hour. So obviously if you're driving an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I would like to see maybe add next year, if we're going to do hot weather evolutions in Indy, why don't we do a city kid theme where, you know, how you do the block party, Bobby? Me and Chris will bring some spray caps from our fire hydrants in New York out, so everybody can run around under the sprinklers and play like a city kid. I think that would add an interesting tune to it.
Yes.
having been a city kid, I'll tell you, it's less fun than it looks.
I appreciate you having us on today, Bobby. It was great. And, you know, Pat and Jimmy jumping on. Robbie, I mean, I think Robbie just affirms the whole deal that, you know, training does pay off no matter what topic it is. And, you know, whether you're learning tricks of the trade or whether you're learning a technical skill, you know, in forcible entry or man and machine, it's paying off. And appreciate the fact of Chris being on here today to talk about his program. Again, I, you know, learn a lot of good stuff from him in the forcible entry world, but we also appreciate their help with the props. We get some really cool things this year. And again, they're not props that are made to twist your mind. They're made to get you to engage and think of ways to adapt these techniques out in the real world. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody out there.
Yeah, no doubt. We are too. I mean, we're just, you know, getting back into it. So we're looking forward to it after seems like years off. You know, sign up for the classes. I say one thing about our class is the amount of hands-on time the students get. Too many class. Sometimes, you know, you go to other places or you see things where, yeah, I went to this class and I got to touch it twice. The way we have our stations with pullouts, you'll be forcing a door two or three times. 5 minutes later, you'll have your hands on the saw. 20 minutes later, you'll be forcing a door with drop bars, and then you'll be pulling a lock and then piking carriage bolts and the way the breakdown is. So if you want a lot of hands-on time and really get a wide variety of skill sets, hopefully we get to see a lot of people, because I know not just us are ready to go back and train.
Pat, Jimmy.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
So I took East Coast's class a couple years ago before I started teaching with PL, and obviously I took PL's class. So from a student perspective, I was almost a 20-year guy when I took classes with both. And the knowledge base and the way they teach is fantastic. And it's done nothing but fuel me to want to be an instructor and to be like those type of groups. And I've got my opportunity at PL Vulcan. So if you're out there and you're on the bubble, I'm telling you, from the student perspective, from a guy that has sat in classes with both these groups, you're never going to sell yourself short. They're great groups. Everybody, I've never had a bad class at FDIC. But, you know, that being said, get out there. Don't be afraid to learn. The only, you know, the people that don't make mistakes are the ones that sit around and don't do anything. If you're out there trying and you're learning, you're going to make mistakes, and it's going to make you a better firefighter.
Yep. And they, you know, to echo everybody's comments, it's you know, we all learn pretty well quite a bit during summer school. At least I can speak for myself. It's going to be a really great time. It's going to be a lot of learning. It's going to be hard work, but you know, that's how we learn. And that's, you know, to Bobby Halton's statement earlier, I mean, this is how we have fires in the hot weather and we have fires in the cold weather, so we ought to be learning how to deal with that in real life situations during training. And so I'm looking forward to some good trainings and good times and a good week or so of camaraderie.
And if any of you out there are having problems with your boss or your bosses are worried about you coming out during this kind of weather, our medical team has doubled for this event. We've got all our cooling protocols down. There'll be tubs at every site. There'll be tents at every site. We've got 8 or 10 doctors will be on with us every day. We've got roving teams of PAs, EMS units will be at every site. You guys know our normal safety. Yeah. We've doubled it. We've doubled it. And we're putting everybody through rehabdo training, dehydration training, heat stress accidents. We're working with the local medical facilities there. So we have not left a stone unturned. Yesterday we spent many hours just sitting, reviewing the plans, getting together, making sure everybody's on track and ready to go. So, you know, if you're a boss out there and you're thinking, wow, I don't want to, you know, I'm kind of concerned, but, you know, these are not cowboys. Every instructor out there is tried and true, knows what they're doing. The medical team is second to none. And if you're a student and you come and say you go out on day one and it's a little too hot for you, you're not feeling well, we've got 40 workshops you can pick from going on each day. So, and it's everybody from John Norman, you know, to Anthony Castros, to, you know, Frank Viscuso, everybody under the sun, you know, Anthony Avilo doing workshops. So there's more than enough stuff, you know, if you have, you know, say you get a little beat up on Monday night, and it can happen, you know, you twist it, you know, you feel a little worn down, you want to just sit and do some, what we call, you know, we have hot training and we have SWAT training, the sit on your ass training. You can stay inside in the air conditioning. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And you don't have to fill out any paperwork or anything else. You just go take some inside stuff. And that's God's honest, you know, I'm an older guy. I can say that at my age, one day outside in the sun would probably be good enough for me. You know what I mean? And I might want to go sit inside and take a lecture this day too. Nothing wrong with doing that. So pace yourselves. We'll be there. We'll work with you. You don't have to, you know, if you can't do your hot evolution the next day, it's not a problem. We've got plenty of space for you in the workshops. So, you know, the workshops hold 150 folks a piece. So we'll get you into, there'll be something good for you to take, and you just get to pick whatever you want to do. So don't feel bad about it. You know, if you don't feel up to doing it that day. And the other thing I will tell you is that me and my team will be out there. And if you show up and you're hungover, or I think you're too hungover, you're not training. You're not going out there. I'm going to yank you, and I'll give you your money back if you want it. But I'm not going to let you get on a bus if I think you're not 100% ready to go train in the weather. So be advised. And that's not, I'm not trying to threaten anybody. I'm just telling you, you know, if you go out Sunday night or Monday night and you beat yourself up and I catch you, I'm going to pull you off the line, and I have to. And I don't think a single one of the instructors we're talking to today would have any qualms with pulling you off the line. If you get past me, you're not going to get past them. You know, so make sure if you do come do the hands-on, you know, I don't have a problem with going out Sunday night or Monday night, but be smart. You know, get a good night's rest. You know, don't close the place down. You know, be smart about it, and show up ready to do a full day's work, because Chris and Mark are gonna put you through a full day's work. So be ready to do a full day's work. So, and I'm not trying to, I just want to let you know, I'm a boss. I got no friends. I don't want any. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not here to make friends with people. And you won't be the first guy or gal I pulled off the line. These guys have seen me do it before. I will pull you off the line. And it's not right or wrong or good or bad. It's my job. So with that, I do want you to come have a great time on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't care how late you're out. You know, if you're doing the workshops, I don't care how late you're out. But if you're going to do hands-on, I do. And I do patrol the streets at night sometimes. So I'm out there, and I want you to have a good time. But I also want to remind you that you represent the fire service and you represent the organizations you come from. So if you're wearing your department's T-shirt and you're acting like an idiot, I will have a talk with you. Remember that the folks that pay your salary or the towns you volunteer in have invested a lot in you and expect you to uphold their reputation. We are called the bravest for a reason. We exhibit courage in everything we do. And Aristotle said, courage is the first of all virtues because it's the thing that ensures the rest. And so courage is being able to tell your friends when they've had enough. Courage is being able to do the right thing when nobody's looking, like, you know, telling people to calm down or behave themselves. And behaving like gentlemen and gentlewomen is the minimum accepted standard at FDIC. Anything less than that is unacceptable. And if you exhibit any of those kinds of behaviors, the other firefighters around you are going to let you know. And so remember, we represent the best of the best of humanity, men and women who are willing to risk their lives without a moment's hesitation for others, strangers, their friends. So come have a great time. We're really excited about summer school. If it works out as well as I think it might, we might be doing two a year when I'm gone. So whoever takes over after me can blame it on me. Freaking Halton. Another bad idea from that freaking Halton. So anyway, I love you. Thank you for doing this. I know you guys have so much to do. Please check out East Coast Rescue Solutions. It's eastcoastrescuesolutions.com, right?
Right.
Look at the incredible stuff Chris has on there. Go to PL Vulcan training. Look at the incredible classes Mark has. It's not just man and machine. It's everything from engine, truck, you name it. Mark teaches it. you know, you when you got a guy like Jimmy Adams and you got a guy like Pat Nichols and you got a guy like Robbie, you know, working with these guys, that's all you need to know. You don't find men of higher caliber. You don't find better firefighters. So, you know, God bless you all. Remember, it's the 4th of July. I know it's our Independence Day. It's the greatest nation on God's green earth. It's the greatest longing living experiment in men and women exercising their freedom and their God-given natural rights. God-given natural rights. So remember the men and women who fought for it, the men and women who protect it every day in our fire and law enforcement agencies, and say a little prayer. Thank God for being born an American, the greatest country in the world. If you're listening to this and you're not an American, well, too bad for you. You try to come. You're welcome. You know, come. So, but I am unapologetically Catholic, unapologetically conservative, and unapologetically patriotic. And so, amen. You got a problem with that? I don't care. I love you. We'll see you on the next hangout.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.